We're going to turn back to Mark chapter 10. That's on page 1015, Mark chapter 10. And shall I pray as we look together at God's word this morning? Father, we ask that you would open our minds and our hearts to receive your word. By your Spirit, come, and would you press this verse for the year into our hearts and lives, that it might shape us as your people here in Crowborough for this coming year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's the dream question, isn't it? The dream question. Jesus says to his disciples, James and John, what do you want me to do for you? It's there in verse 36 of our reading. What an opportunity. Jesus is so able. He's so powerful. And so far in Mark's gospel, James and John will have seen Jesus do remarkable, powerful things that only God can do. He has calmed the storm. He has set people free from evil spirits. He's raised the dead. He's forgiven sins. That is power, divine power in the God-man. And what will they ask for? What do you want me to do for you? He asked. I remember as a child, I can remember reading the story of Aladdin and dreaming about how great it would be to have a genie's lamp. Imagine that. You rub the lamp, the genie appears, you get three wishes. And I thought that actually if I could ask the genie in my third wish for a wish every day, I'd have done really well. I just thought that'd be amazing. Just think what you could ask for day after day, sweets and everything. And of course, Aladdin is just make-believe. And Mark's gospel is not the world of Disney. In Mark's gospel, this is the real world. Real time, real history, and James and John are asked by Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? And their answer is quite revealing. Have a look, verse 37, they replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. Look at their answer. If you cut through it, it's all about self-service. It's about them. That's the bottom line. They want to be great. They are interested in greatness. So when Jesus comes into his kingdom and takes the seat of honor in your glory, they want the top positions. They want the respect and honor that goes with being with Jesus. That will make them look pretty amazing. They want greatness. I wonder, who would you like to sit next to if you could pick somebody? Or to sit next to travel in an open car with somebody so everyone could see you? So everybody knows that you know this important person. And you can bask in the reflected glory. Maybe the Queen. Maybe you could say to your friends, did you see me at the Albert Hall? I was sitting between Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip. Yes, we are that close. And I guess you feel pretty special because I know the Queen. It's pretty good, isn't it? I hang out with the Queen. Do please applaud when you feel like you want to. You could even wave a little flag at me. That'd be just fine. So Jesus says to James and John, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, we want the position of honor and respect that comes with being near to you, the victorious king of the kingdom. We want to sit at your left and your right-hand side. And you know, it's not just these two disciples bearing their hearts. In verse 41, we see that the other disciples, the other 10, are indignant because they've missed out on getting in there first. All 12 want greatness, all want respect, all want to be served. They all want glory now. And it's refreshingly honest, isn't it? And before we tut and look down upon them, Look at your own heart this morning. Don't we at times want earthly rewards and honour? Don't we want glory now, the praise and adulation and respect of others, and the position we feel we deserve? Don't we love others to serve us, and us telling them what to do? But that's not Jesus' way. It's the way of the world. It's the way that opposes Jesus. Look at verse 42. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Positions of power go to people's heads, and they just love it. Minions running after them. Surely a sign of greatness. What about us this morning? Are we ever tempted, even just a little bit, to serve ourselves before others? To serve ourselves instead of serving King Jesus? As the disciples pour out their hearts in our passage this morning before Jesus, will we see our hearts reflected in them before our Lord and King? You see, our motivations for why we do what we do are often mixed and not pure. But Jesus, like a great doctor, knows the issue of the heart. He knows their issue. He knows our heart issues. He gives his prognosis. They have a severe case of misunderstanding. And he prescribes the medicine that they need. Look at the medicine he gives. It's there in verses 43 and 44, where he defines what true greatness looks like. Verse 43, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. True greatness, says Jesus. True greatness is seen in being like a slave, a servant of others. Wow. That is a humbling bit of medicine, isn't it? It's not about having the best seat at the table. God says, Jesus says, for he is God, true greatness is seen in slave-like service. I wonder who your favourite TV chef is. I love watching Jamie Oliver, the King of Essex, bringing magic on screen. He's so creative and dramatic, throwing stuff in the pot, chopping things up and creating amazing food. He's great, but you cannot beat Mary Berry, can you? She had a great Christmas show this year where she would teach other celebrities, some of them very fearful cooks, to make her dishes. This is how you do it. This is the way to make it. This is what it looks like to make my Mary Berry Christmas food. And she, step by step, with her lovely old wise hands and sparkling smile and brilliant skill, teaches them. She's got to be the oldest chef on telly. But great wisdom from Mary Berry that she shares with others. Watch me. Learn from me. Follow me when you're in the kitchen. That's what happens next with Jesus, isn't it? He's given them the prescription. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. He's prescribed the medicine. True greatness is seen in service of others. And he backs it up. He says, look at me. Look at me. Let me show you what I mean from the way that I live. Look at me. Live like me. Learn from me. Follow me. And that's our verse of the year, isn't it? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10, 45. True greatness is seen in Jesus. You see, don't get anyone greater than Jesus, do you? The God-man. He is the Son of Man. And that title, the Son of Man, you'll have heard in our reading from Daniel this morning. And Jesus uses it of himself many, many, many times in the Gospels. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has this vision of God the Father, the Ancient of Days, and a person like a man, the Son of Man, approaching God the Father on his throne. The Son of Man has free access to God the Father, and God the Father gives to the Son of Man authority, glory, and sovereign power. The Son of Man is all-powerful and deserves all glory. And he's so powerful that the Ancient of Days says that all nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. The Son of Man deserves the worship and adoration and praise of all people from every nation and of every language. And his power, his authority will never stop. The Ancient of Days says his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. The Son of Man, in this vision in Daniel, is given by the Ancient of Days, God the Father, all power and authority that deserves the worship of all people as he rules forever and ever. And the point is this: you don't get any greater than that. This is top of the top. And Jesus says time and time again that he is the Son of Man, the greatest of the greatest. But look at our verse. But even the Son of Man, even the Son of Man did not come to be served. Of all people who deserve service, it's got to be Jesus, the Son of Man. And there are the disciples. We want a bit of your left and your right, basking in your glory, so people can see how great we are. And Jesus says, no, you're missing the point. You've been shaped by the world's view of greatness. Not even I, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, I did not come to be served like that. You see, this is our God, the servant King. Learn from me. The King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is amazing, isn't he? The King comes intentionally not to be served. Jesus comes instead to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What does that service involve? It involves a life of compassion and kindness and service to others and obedience to his Father in heaven. And he knows that this life will lead him to the cross. That's what it says back in verse 33, isn't it? Have a look. The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise again. The Son of Man will serve his people through his self-sacrifice. The Son of Man, willing to be mocked and spat upon and flogged and killed. And on the cross, he went through our hell, his people's hell, to ransom us, to pay the price for my sin, so that through faith in him, by trusting in him, I could be freed from the debt I owe of obedience, freed from slavery to sin and the kingdom of darkness, and be brought into his forever family, the kingdom of light, and into that place of grace and mercy and security that is ours if we are trusting in Christ today. And he says, if you're mine, follow me. Follow me. As a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Christ. Trust in my death. That's where salvation is found. And follow my example of greatness. which is to be a servant, a slave to all, for the glory of Jesus who has ransomed my life. You know, often like the first disciples, we can forget the cross and the trials of being a believer and think only of the crown of the glory to come. That is not the pattern set by Jesus. He knew that there was suffering and great joy in serving the Lord now and glory to come. And right now, true greatness is found in becoming more like Jesus. We're called to give our lives to greatness. That is found in being like the Son of Man. He did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. This is a whole life of worship. This is the ministry room of our house, isn't it? The house vision, do you remember that? Ministry, serving for Jesus. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others. And we've written, we recognize that as members of a body, we're all gifted to serve each other and our world. We want to encourage all to use their gifts in church and in the community. You see, we're never too young to serve. Never too old to serve. And let's be honest, we get tired of serving and we love to be served. Maybe sometimes you feel like you're serving so much, you have to sing the song, "Give me joy in my heart, keep me serving." Let me encourage you, if you are serving wholeheartedly and sacrificially, keep living like Jesus. That is the way that Jesus loves us to live, like him. But if we're just on the edge, just along for the ride, and thinking of self, we need the words of Jesus to rebuke us this morning, don't we? Be like me. Don't come to be served. Come to serve. I love this verse and how Jesus shows us true greatness. I wonder, will we allow this verse to shape our lives as individuals, as a church family, for the way that we live in our homes, in our roads, in our communities, in our families, called to be like Jesus? For the way that we're part of this church family, in the ways that we can, serving, called to be like Jesus. Jesus says to the disciples, "What do you want me to do for you?" And as we hear that, don't we need to pray, "Lord Jesus, teach me, help me to trust you and your definition of greatness, that I might be more like Jesus, the perfect man, the glorious God-man, the Son of Man, who serves." Let me pray. Why don't we respond ourselves to God's word and his spirit as he prompts us this morning and encourages us and challenges us through his word, through the example of Christ and the teaching of Christ. Father, we pray that the Lord Jesus, who has saved us by faith in him through his cross, is ransom for us, and that we'll be those this year who become more like Jesus as a church family. Thank you for the many ways that people serve in this church family. The joy I have as the pastor here to see many people quietly serving in a way that nobody ever sees. Think of the realms of service in our homes and with our families, in our work, in the places you've put us. And Lord, we pray you help us not to tire of service, but to do what we can at whatever stage of life we're at whatever energy level you've given us. We ask this, that Christ might be glorified and exalted through our lives and in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.